You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural episode of the Mandatory Samson Podcast. Oh, my God, this is so exciting. Here we are, coming to you live, recorded live, at Stand Up New York Labs in the heart of New York City. I am one of your three hosts for this episode. My name is Chris Flannery. I am joined by a friend and colleague, Mr. Andy Gentilosi.
Yep, I'm here too.
He's here. And I'm also very excited to introduce one of my oldest and closest friends, Mr. Joey Noe. And yes, his name does rhyme. Joey?
It's great to be here, Chris.
Thank you. It's very exciting to have you here. This is something that I've been thinking about doing for a really long time since I started working here at Stand Up Labs, and me and Andy have been talking about it for quite a while.
Yeah, we have. We both have been wanting to do a podcast. Well, we both had our own podcast before this, and now that we work at a studio, we figured, why not do it?
Right, and because both of those podcasts were some of the best, like, best material on the internet, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Me and Joey had our own podcast called Backyard Buddies Podcast, which was called that because I lived at my mom's house and my dad's house. They're together. They're a loving couple. We did the podcast in my parents' yard, and it was called Backyard Buddies Podcast, and Joey's my co-host. Right, Joey?
And I miss those days.
I do, too. I was actually going back and listening to some of the old episodes, and they're good. I feel like they're good. I feel like we should try to not necessarily mimic, but we could use that kind of as a template for what we're going to do here.
Yeah.
Nice. And you can actually go online. They're still all up there, all 22 episodes that we did, backyardbuddiespodcast.com. Go check them out, kids. And I don't want to hear any bullshit about them. Just go, unless
just go
it's positive.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can attest to that show actually being good, because to get an idea before we started doing this show, to get an idea of how it was going to run, I watched five episodes of Backyard Buddies, and I loved it. So it is all still online if you guys want to go check it out. But listen to this first.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, listen to this. You guys are going to love it. And I will say, here's the thing. I don't like to edit anything out because I think it's just, it's better. It's like, if I said it in the moment, fine. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize for it later, whatever. Yep. This is the only episode we're going to record. We're recording on a Thursday. It's October 9th. This will be coming out next Friday. That's the only time we're going to do that, really. We're going to try to record them on Thursday, and they'll be coming out at midnight Thursday, like into Friday.
Nice.
From now on, that's what we're going to do. So if some of the topics are maybe a little behind exactly what's happening, fucking deal with it. It's going to be great anyway. And then it's just going to be, amazing from there on out.
Damn right.
Here's the thing. Joey, this is the first time you've been in this studio. I've been here, I guess, 6-7 months maybe at this point. Andy's been here at least 4 months, got to be, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Joey? How do you feel about the environment here?
I like the vibe.
Yeah?
I do.
Why don't you get a little closer to the mic, put a little bass in your voice.
I like it.
Okay. Listen, I have a little surprise for you guys. This is the first episode of the podcast, but because of the pedigree kind of coming into this thing, we already have a sponsor.
That's awesome.
No way.
Yeah, we have a sponsor. And I think some people said it's irresponsible to have the sponsor. I don't. I think that they make a great product, and everything that they say, I'm going to play a commercial. They actually gave us a commercial. I'm going to play it. It's a minute long. Everything they say, and this is 100% true and backed by medical science. Do you guys want to find out who our first sponsor is?
Go to the clip.
Let's do it.
Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like this?
The first choice of young America, according to a recent survey made in 274 colleges. Chesterfield, the first cigarette with premium quality in both regular and king size. Chesterfield, the cigarette with highest quality, proven by chemical analyses to have higher quality than the five other leading brands. Chesterfield, and first to give you this report. A doctor has been making thorough examinations of a group of Chesterfield smokers every 2 months for a full year, and he reports no adverse effects to the nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfield. Try Chesterfield. Buy a carton. Much milder Chesterfield is America's best cigarette buy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
I think that's going to get us in trouble.
I don't think so. Why would that get us in trouble? It's the first cigarette brand that doesn't cause any adverse effects. Terrific.
How about that?
And go buy a carton. Go get a pack of Chesterfields. Get 10 packs of them. They're phenomenal. So that's great. So we're off to a good start.
I'm very impressed that you were able to get that right away before we even recorded one episode.
Thank you. Yeah.
Chesterfield cigarettes. They're behind us. And we're all smokers, so that's good news.
Exclusively Chesterfield.
Exclusively Chesterfield.
I bought 3 cartons yesterday. Yep. They sent me a free carton. I was like, no, it's not good enough. I bought 2 more.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, thank you, Chesterfield Cigarette, for your support. We really appreciate it. We're going to keep going strong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it's going to go, guys. This podcast is basically going to be current events, from all aspects, politics, government, sports, whatever it is. I'm very much into hockey. I'm sitting here right now in a New York Rangers jersey.
You look like a skinny Kevin Smith.
And I feel like one.
Good.
That's the important thing.
Good.
The Rangers start tonight. I have that penciled in as perhaps a topic we'll talk about later, just a little bit of opening night. We'll talk about mixed martial arts. We're going to run the gamut. One of the things that I wanted to bring up in this first episode, because I want to incorporate clips, I think that's something that's missing from podcasts a lot of the time. People don't bring in sound clips or whatever, but that's what it's all about, man. Little media criticism.
Yep.
The first thing that I brought to the conversation today, it's a clip. It's like 4 minutes of Leonardo DiCaprio addressing the UN climate summit this year. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times people complain about, oh, Kim Kardashian's on TV and she's so dumb and blah, blah. Okay, why don't you watch this clip then of a guy who is well-respected, obviously intelligent, and is trying to make
a difference
as a celebrity, you know? So that's why I brought this clip. I figure we watch it, we could talk about it. Here's the other thing, Joey, I should have mentioned to you. When we're playing a clip, mm-hmm. you can talk. Like, it's not like we used to do on Backyard Buddies where we'd have to stop and listen to the clip. You can talk over the clip. So if you want me to pause it or whatever, that's fine. Or if you want to make a little snark comment, feel free to go for
it. Good to know.
But show some goddamn respect for Leonardo DiCaprio, okay? That's all I'm going to say about this.
That's important.
Yeah, it's crucially important. And also, look, here's the other thing. I get impassioned about things sometimes, and this is going to be a great medium, I think, to get my frustration out, maybe get a little feedback. And I think this is one of the most important issues that faces the world right now is climate change.
You do believe that?
I 100% do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why, you don't?
No, because I'm more of the opinion of, and I know this is horrible, but I'm only going to be on this earth for another 50 years, maybe. I'm 24 now. I figured 74, I'll probably punch out by then.
Okay. That's a good time.
So, yeah. So, I mean, nothing's going to happen in the next 50 years. I hope that will adversely affect my life.
I don't know about that,
I mean,
Joey.
Question for you. What if you had a child or two?
Well, I'm not having kids.
Oh, okay.
Bullshit.
That's already been decided.
See, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of... Well, all right. Why don't we watch the clip and then we'll get into a broader discussion about it. All right. So... here we go. This is Leonardo DiCaprio addressing he's a UN messenger of peace, by the way. What a wonderful title.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. He's addressing the UN climate summit from this year. Here's Leo at the microphone. That's them. That's not us. That's on the video, guys.
Right.
He looks amazing.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, and distinguished guest.
Can I just say this? He looks like Leonardo DiCaprio from Gangs of New York.
He does.
Just in a suit. He looks like a complete badass. You should take what he says seriously, guys.
But and he has the beard and like the little ponytail in the
back.
Yeah,
he looks ready to fuck. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
I'm honored to be here today. I stand before you not as an expert, but as a concerned citizen. One of the 400,000 people who marched in the streets of New York on Sunday, and the billions of others around the world who want to solve our climate crisis.
Interesting point that Leo brings up there. I'm sorry if you guys are like really into what Leo's saying, but I'm going to pause it occasionally. There were huge climate protests that took place all over the world, but specifically in New York, and they got very minimal coverage.
Yeah, they did. Like none at all, except for that goddamn polar bear getting arrested.
Right, because it's something that they can make fun of. And that's the thing. Like, it makes me wonder, like, or doesn't make me wonder, but I believe that because corporations that have vested interests in oil and all this shit, they run the media, they control the world to a certain extent. Why wouldn't they want you to see that? So you don't worry about it.
Exactly.
You know? That's the thing.
Out of sight, out of mind.
100%.
I didn't even know they had these.
Right. And partly it is your fault because you're not doing the research, but that's okay. But mostly it's the fault of these major media organizations that don't cover it, or they'll cover a fucking polar bear getting arrested.
Exactly.
It's like, that's insanity. Yeah. All right, Leo, please continue.
As an actor, I pretend for a living. I play fictitious characters, often solving fictitious problems. I believe that mankind has looked at climate change in that same way, as if it were a fiction, as if pretending that climate change wasn't real would somehow make it go away. But I think we all know better than that now. Every week we're seeing new and undeniable climate events, evidence that accelerated climate change is here right now. Droughts are intensifying, our oceans are acidifying, with methane plumes rising up from the ocean floor. We are seeing extreme weather events and the West Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets melting at unprecedented rates, decades ahead of scientific projections. None of this is rhetoric, and none of it is hysteria. It is fact. The scientific community knows it, industry knows it, governments know it, even the United States military knows it.
Oh, shit.
The chief of the U.S. Navy's Pacific Command, Admiral Samuel Locklear, recently said that climate change is our single greatest security threat.
And if you doubt that Leonardo DiCaprio is able to talk to an admiral in the U.S. Navy, you're wrong, because this motherfucker has a huge yacht. He was at the World Cup, and he banged like 50 supermodels on that thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
This guy leads quite the life, but the fact that he is this interested in it and this, like, invested in it, I think there's something to be said for that. Like, he, you know, he could just kind of say fuck it and do what a lot of other stars do and just kind of live this amazing life. But this guy, dude, he has like foundations and shit, like Clean Water Foundation. Like, he's a pretty amazing guy and one hell of a speaker.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's terrific. And that's the thing. It's important to have a guy who has this type of appeal, the ability to give a nice speech, you know, and actually get a point out there. It's very important. The other thing, it's like, you're absolutely right. If global warming, you're right. If he only lives to be 80, whatever.
Yep.
We'll be feeling some effects of it, but it won't be the type of thing where the world is literally over in 50 years. Leonardo can leave areas that are shitty. He's not stuck in a, you know, he has plenty of money. He can go do whatever he wants. So I think it's very admirable that he is doing this. Let's hear what else he has to say. We're almost done with the clip.
My friends, this body, perhaps more than any other gathering in human history, now faces this difficult but achievable task. You can make history, or you will be vilified by it.
Very nice.
To be clear, this is not about just telling people to change their light bulbs or to buy a hybrid car. This disaster has grown beyond the choices that individuals make. This is now about our industries and our governments around the world taking decisive, large-scale action. Now must be our moment for action. We need to put a price tag on carbon emissions and eliminate government subsidies for oil, coal, and gas companies. We need to end the free ride that industrial polluters have been given in the name of a free market economy. They do not deserve our tax dollars. They deserve our scrutiny, for the economy itself will die if our ecosystems collapse. The good news is that renewable energy is not only achievable, but good economic policy.
Right. He fumbles with the paper a little bit here. It makes me laugh.
This is not a partisan debate. It is a human one. Clean air and a livable climate are inalienable human rights. And solving this crisis is not a question of politics. It is a question of our own survival. This is the most urgent of times and the most urgent of messages. Honored delegates, leaders of the world, I pretend for a living, but you do not. The people made their voices heard on Sunday around the world, and the momentum will not stop. But now it is your turn. The time to answer humankind's greatest challenge is now. We beg of you to face it with courage and honesty. Thank you.
God damn.
Well spoken.
You want to talk about slapping somebody in the face? Leonardo DiCaprio just did it. Time will vilify these people.
Oh,
it is
absolutely
their obligation to do something about it, because he's right. He brings up a great point when he goes, oh, it's not about light bulbs or recycling. It is important to do those things for on a small scale.
Of course.
But we are not, I am not going to be able to stop BP from destroying shit or companies that do fracking. It's like, that's where the problem is. Yeah. And I have no control over that shit.
Yeah. It's Oh man, that was great.
Right.
Like, he is a great public speaker, and he did that. I mean, you pointed out he fumbled with the paper there for a second, but that, like, he wasn't reading notes. Like, he, like,
no, oh yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. Like, he knew what he was saying. He was barely glancing at it. Right. I mean, and it's important when you get a guy, obviously, of his caliber, that's a phenomenal actor, where he's, you know, in Wolf of Wall Street and every other fucking great movie, he can deliver a message of super importance, yeah. You know? Joey, what do you think about this? You're being awfully quiet over there.
I think he did a good job, but I feel that it's this situation where you would have to have the companies there to also listen to him, what he's saying. Because, yeah, the government would have to impose, but the company should be self-aware what they're doing to the environment.
I mean, I guess to an extent. This is a thing that we used to talk about all the fucking time on Backyard Buddies, and it's something that I try to talk about, like, generally. The corporations are only interested in making money. They're not interested, really. Obviously, it's paradoxical that they wouldn't be concerned about the planet that they make the money on surviving.
Right.
But they don't have an obligation to us. They have an obligation to their board of trustees or stockholders or whatever it is. Government is the only thing that is going to be able to stop them, because they can regulate them, and that's a dirty word in America, particularly on the right. People are like, oh, free market, blah, blah. Okay, free market, but the free market's going to be floating in the fucking ocean eventually. You know, we're not going to be around.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up a good point by, you know, saying that... I don't know, man. Like, he made... I don't know where I'm going with that. Never mind.
Okay, great point. No.
Yeah.
that's fine. Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've kind of said it, and I think Leo said it very well, and it's, you know, it's interesting to see a guy that doesn't have to be doing it,
right,
doing it, you know, which is what I like to... why I brought the clip. Here's something interesting that I found last night, and incredibly unprofessionally, I don't have my email open, so I'm going to kind of stall as it loads. I found an article. Jennifer Lawrence recently was involved in a massive celebrity nude photo leak.
One that we, I'm not, well, should probably be kind of ashamed to say. We took advantage of it at this office. There were lots of, there was lots of photo sharing going on, and lots of, hey, come check out this photo. I saw Hillary Duff naked. That was exciting.
Sure did. Yeah. We all did. Look, I mean, Joey, did you get involved in the fappening, as it's called?
Yeah, I do have several of Jennifer Lawrence pictures on my phone.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
No, you've seen them, but you don't have them on your phone.
Why would he not have them on his phone?
Legally, you probably wouldn't have those, right? I don't think it matters. Never mind. I don't care. Go to jail, Joey. What do I care?
Yeah.
Look, anyway, the article that I wanted to bring in, I read on The Guardian. It's the headline is Jennifer Lawrence denounces nude photo hack as sex crime.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Go ahead. What?
No, okay. First of all, sex crimes are probably the most horrific thing that we have in this world, I would say. Like, they're like, that's the worst of the worst.
Right,
like,
that and murder. Right.
But even, I think, in my opinion, I know murdering somebody is bad, but raping somebody is almost worse, in my opinion, because they have to deal with that mentally for the rest of their life.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't agree necessarily, but I get where you're going with that.
Right.
Like, yeah, of course, you kill somebody, that's the end of their life. But right. But the mental anguish and the, you know, everything that goes along with the physical pain, whatever that goes along with the rape. Yeah, it's absolutely horrific.
It's horrible.
I come from the school of... we shouldn't put anybody in jail that's nonviolent. They're selling drugs or whatever. There's a reason why they're doing that. If you rape or kill somebody, you go to jail for life. That's the end of it. I don't believe in the death penalty, but you just go to jail. We don't need a fucking rapist or a murderer out there. Just put them in prison.
You don't believe in the death penalty?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. The simple reason is if you kill someone, the punishment can't be that you die, because... You're saying the thing that you did is so bad, we're going to do it to you. And I just think that doesn't make sense logically. But
what about, and I get for one murder, right, like if you kill one person.
Yeah.
What about mass murderers who kill a whole lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, I still kind of feel the same way. Because the death penalty came out of an idea of like, we can't be sure that we can keep this person locked up. They might get out. We don't have that problem anymore. We have supermax prisons. These people can stay in them. And that's like you were saying, where you kind of think rape is maybe worse than murder. Live in a jail cell, you know, a solitary confinement for 23 hours a day or whatever. Mm. That sucks dick. Why don't we let that horrible serial killer stay in jail for, you know, 50, 60 years? It's a terrible.
That's a good point.
You're kind of putting them out of their misery by just killing them.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, you know, true. And I think, I don't know, it's always so funny to me that, like, when these serial killers, like, or not just serial killers, but mass murderers, like James Holmes, who, if you guys don't know, is the one who committed the Colorado theater shooting.
Oh, the Aurora shooting.
The Aurora shooting. He was basically, his lawyers were basically bending over backwards to take the death penalty off the table for him, because he was, it just amazes me how these killers are so terrified of the death penalty and the idea of losing their life when, you know, they commit these crimes. Sure. It's they're almost like going for numbers, like they're like trying to kill as many people
as they can.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, I mean, this is like a whole nother thing that we can definitely talk about another time, but you know, as it relates to this article, I don't know, man. I agree with you when she calls the nude photos coming out a sex crime. I mean, it in a certain way, it minimizes what an actual sex crime
is, you know? That's more my point, is that you can't, you know, nude photos being leaked out. Yeah, I get that sucks for you when
it's
you're a celebrity. It's embarrassing, but it's nothing. It is nowhere near what, you know, the anguish that comes along with being a victim of a violent sex crime.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, and also, Joey, one second, this has been kind of a thing that's been coming out with like these new feminist movements online, mm-hmm. and things like that, where you know, they are very much against anybody minimizing rape, where you can't say, well, maybe it was kind of a rape. It's like you can't even have that conversation. So for her to come out and say this, and they'd probably agree with her, I think is, you know, a discussion that's worth having. I don't agree with her that it's a sex crime. It's definitely a privacy violation.
Absolutely.
It's a crime for sure.
Well, my question is, if we do call it a sex crime, what would be the the penalty? Does she mention how she would
penalize these
people?
No, she doesn't get into that. That's an interesting question, right? If you're going to redefine that a hacking can then be charged as a sexual predator or a rapist or whatever. I don't know. I think you're going into a weird area. Definitely the person should go to jail, and they do get punished very harshly when they get caught.
Yeah. And I don't know how this works. How did all these photos get leaked? Did somebody like hack into somebody's like computer and take them all? Like it's their iCloud.
Their iCloud account.
Right?
Yeah, that's supposedly what happened. That this guy got into the iCloud accounts of like all these celebrities and was able to obviously uncover a trove of nude photos.
Did you see? When this happened, Steve-O from Jackass, did you see that and what happened with him?
No.
He was like, he basically dared, like, he was like, you know, this is so fucked up, like, hackers, like, I dare you to hack into my cloud.
Mistake!
Yeah, and a dude got into it right away. And started, like, dude, leaking out all these photos, like, these naked photos Steve-O had of, like, celebrities and, like, pictures of him, like, the photo's been out there, but him, like, puking with all, like, the nitrous cartridges next to him, and, like, just when he was at his worst.
Right.
And, like, it sucks. But, yeah, don't dare hackers.
No, of course not.
They're great at what they do.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Steve-O's password is probably, like, jackass69. You know?
Right.
It's, like, probably not that difficult to get in there. Also, if you're going to dare a hacker to do something to you, empty out your iCloud. Like, get the...
Yeah.
Like, or just have it be, like, you're a dick, hacker. You know, like, have something like that. No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good idea, Steve-O. Here, at the end of this article, she has one quote that really stood out to me, and she goes, every single thing that I tried to write, she was talking about perhaps writing a statement about this thing that happened to her, Jennifer Lawrence. She goes, every single thing that I tried to write made me cry or get angry, which I do feel bad about that.
Yeah, of course.
She said, I started to write an apology, but I don't have anything to say I'm sorry for it. And she's right, she doesn't. I was in a loving, healthy, great relationship for 4 years. It was long distance, and either your boyfriend is going to look at porn or he's going to look at you. Here's the thing. Here's where it kind of goes off the rails for me. it shows a lot, because there was a shitload of pictures of Jennifer Lawrence that she was taking, and fine, she was taking them for her boyfriend, whatever. But it also shows a kind of a weird level of like narcissism, where it's like, do you really think your boyfriend's not jerking off to porn too?
Yeah,
like you're not going to stop him from doing that.
No, and the idea,
right?
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. So, but anyway, but look, I'm not minimizing it. I do feel bad what happened to her. I looked at the pictures. Jenny, baby, listen to me. You looked great.
Yeah.
Even in pictures that you'd probably be embarrassed about, there's one of her like kind of crying or whatever. You look terrific. Nobody feels negative towards you. You have a beautiful body.
Why did she take that picture of her kind of crying? That's what I'm wondering.
You know what? I misspoke. It's not even her kind of crying. It's her like in the shower. I guess she looks like a little drunk and like her mascara is running or whatever. But it's sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
Sorry.
See, I feel bad because she lost an opportunity to sell that.
True.
Yeah, but I mean, look,
because
if she
could have made a hefty little payday off of that.
No doubt about it. But if she doesn't want them to be out there, fine. I get that. They shouldn't be out there. But I don't know. I have mixed feelings about, like, I don't feel bad looking at them. I didn't fucking hack them.
No.
You know, I had nothing to do with it. They're there. I'm looking at it. I'll watch a beheading video. I'll watch a lot of shit. It's just because it's there, I'm going to look at it. But I don't necessarily feel bad about it. I don't know how you guys feel about it. You said it kind of when we started that you were like, you know, shamefully or whatever.
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, we all looked at the pictures, but again, like you said, I don't really feel bad about it because I'm not the one who hacked into her iCloud account and put all these pictures out there.
Right.
Like, if they're out there, it, like you said, like, I kind of have to look,
you
know,
have
like
to look.
I got to check it out. Like, I'll be out of the loop.
Right.
If I don't.
Yeah. We run a current events podcast. What am I going to do? Not check out that sweet, sweet Heine. What am I going
to
do?
We have to be up on these things.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jennifer Lawrence. And if you ever want to come on the show and talk about
it. You're more than welcome.
You are more than welcome.
Andy, I love where your head's at. Jennifer Lawrence, I'm sure. Look, obviously, eventually she's going to listen to this podcast because we have a huge name recognition. We're big stars, all of us anyway.
And we got sponsors.
Terrific podcast. We have, Chesterfield cigarettes. Go grab a carton of Chesterfield cigarettes today and smoke them till your lungs don't hurt because they're good for you.
Yeah,
she's gonna listen to this eventually. Please call in. I'll give you my personal number.
Or you can come into the studio too.
Oh, I mean, we'd love to have you here. I'm sure John Fatigate would love to have Jennifer Lawrence walk through here. It'd be a big boon for all of us.
I think he would like that.
Yeah. All right. Look, here's the thing. A little bit of a conundrum right now. I didn't expect that we were gonna be able to talk for a half hour. I didn't know what to expect. Me and Andy have podcasts together on like a little like pilot that we tried once. We didn't really go anywhere. Me and Joey, I know how it goes. Usually I'll talk for 56 minutes. I'll give Joey like 3 minutes at the end with his topics and I'll shut them all down and then we end the episode. We're at like almost a half hour right now.
Yeah, we are.
I have a couple of more topics. I'm gonna leave it to you guys. One of the topics that I brought, and it's like a long 10-minute clip that we were obviously gonna like dissect kind of as we went through it. It was if you guys don't know, this week on Real Time with Bill Maher, he had on Ben Affleck and Sam Harris, who is an author and like a well-known atheist, as is Bill Maher. And they got into this long discussion about Islamophobia. Basically, Bill Maher and Sam Harris were saying that Islam is kind of an inherently violent religion. And Ben Affleck took great umbrage to this thing. And it was just an interesting thing that maybe I wanted to get into. We don't have to get into it because I know that Andy has topics and Joey has topics. And then maybe I could just run through. I have like two like shorter ones. Would you rather do that, or what do you guys think?
We can do this. I can, because I only had a few topics, and I can certainly shelf them, and we can just kind of run the rest of the show with we'll do this video, and you guys can cover your topics, and I'll just kind of chime in and give opinions.
Okay, Joey, what do you think? You feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're right on the. You're right there, ready to chime in. Okay, yeah. And the other thing is, guys, we're going to give out our contact information at the end. I'm at Mansamp on Twitter, MANSAMP. And let us know, you know, as you guys are listening to this, like, what, too much, too little, whatever.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we do this? This is a longer clip. Obviously, like we just did with the Leonardo DiCaprio thing, we're probably going to cut into it and whatever. But let's see this debate unfold on Real Time with Bill Maher. I watched it live. I thought it was interesting. There's been a lot of, you know, feedback. We were actually even just talking about it with Mike Holland before we came in, another guy that's here. We were having this conversation outside. But anyway, so
never allowed to be a guest on this podcast, though.
No, he's got his own podcast, Spooky Cast, and I think he should you know, just kind of like stick to that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any sponsors or anything. Like,
no, he definitely doesn't have Chesterfield cigarettes.
So, all right. Anyway, so here we go. This is Real Time with Bill Maher.
That you and I have been trying to make the case, I think, I have anyway.
He's talking to Sam Harris.
Liberals need to stand up for liberal principles. This is what I said on last week's show. Obviously, I got a lot of hate for it. But all I'm saying is that liberal principles like freedom of speech, freedom to practice any religion you want without fear of violence, freedom to leave a religion, equality for women, equality for minorities, including homosexuals. These are liberal principles that liberals applaud for, but then when you say in the Muslim world this is what's lacking, then they get upset.
Yeah. Well, liberals have really failed on the topic of theocracy. They'll criticize white theocracy. They'll criticize Christians. They'll still get agitated over the abortion clinic bombing that happened in 1984. But when you want to talk about the treatment of women and homosexuals and free thinkers and public intellectuals in the Muslim world, I would argue that liberals have failed us. And the crucial point of confusion... thank you.
Thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Well, that was Ben Affleck, by the way, who looks terrific but comes across like a bit of a smarmy dick throughout this thing.
But he always comes across like that.
I was surprised. I was excited when he was going to be on the show, and I was like, "Oh, interesting. He's usually a good guest, and he was a good guest on this." But he definitely has a bit of a like. Immediately, he got very aggressive with this conversation, which is But anyway, so continuing.
The crucial point of confusion is that. We have been sold this meme of Islamophobia, where every criticism of the doctrine of Islam gets conflated with bigotry toward Muslims as people.
Right.
And that is it's intellectually ridiculous. Even it gets
so. Hold on. Are you the person who understands the officially codified doctrine of Islam?
He's pissed.
I'm actually well educated on this topic.
I'm asking you. So saying if I criticize you're saying that Islamophobia is not a real thing. That if you're critical of something...
And Islamophobia, to me, is a thing, just like anything is. Bigotry, racism, whatever. There are people that exist. But anyway, they keep going. But Islamophobia definitely is a real thing, but I think it might be overblown and they get into that.
Well, it's not a real thing when we do it.
Right.
It
really isn't.
I'm not denying that certain people are bigoted against Muslims as people. That's a problem.
Big of you.
But
why are you so hostile about
this?
It's gross. It's racist.
It's not. It's but it's so nuts.
It's like saying
it's
those
so
stateless
not,
shifty Jew.
You're not listening we are saying. You
guys, which, for the record, Jews are not shifty. They're nice people. My girlfriend's Jewish.
They're saying if you want to be liberals, believe in liberal principles like freedom of speech, we are endowed by our forefathers with an inalienable right. All men are created equal.
Ben, we have to be able to criticize bad ideas. And
of course we do.
Islam,
no liberal doesn't want to criticize bad ideas.
But Islam but at why, this moment when, is the mother load of bad ideas.
Jesus.
So we have
that's
ideas
just a
like,
fact.
Like blasphemy.
It's not a
fact.
No. It is
it's an ugly...
Joe, you got something to say there?
Yeah, see, I think...
Talking to the microphone.
I think what Ben is trying to do is say that you can't tell a whole group of people, especially a religion, that they're wrong. And maybe that's why he gets so defensive.
No, I don't know. And can I say this? You can. I disagree. I think you can tell a religion that they're wrong because they can't prove anything. Excuse me. Other than that, I think he's reacting. Jesus Christ, I'm drinking seltzer. I'm just fucking burping into the mic. I would love to have Polar Seltzer, by the way, as a sponsor. Anyway, Bill, I think realistically, probably Ben Affleck is a big Hollywood guy. He travels in a lot of circles that are probably quite liberal. And when he has these conversations, he's probably not used to encountering anybody that has a counterpoint where they're like, no, the Islam has been bastardized to an extent and they are violent. He probably doesn't get that a lot.
Yeah, no, I don't think he gets that a lot at all. But just like watching like his facial, like he's angry here and like and very like I would not even angry like distraught like
yes
he's like he can't it seems like he can't comprehend what you know these counterpoints he's never been faced with them and now he's like it's like fucking with his head
no doubt about it and I mean you're listening to Sam Harris who couldn't be more of a boring kind of intellectual guy that's just gonna talk like that and Ben Affleck's like what the fuck are you all right
yeah
let's continue Big Ben tell me what you got to say buddy
apostasy
it is one basic liberal
well, let me unpack
is
it.
Tolerance
let yeah, me exactly. let me unpack
but
it
but not for intolerance
no of course it's not but the picture you're painting
the guy talking right now is Nicholas Kristof I don't know what publication he works works for. And then the other guy you might hear is Michael Steele, who's the former RNC chairman.
Is to some extent true, but is hugely incomplete. It is certainly true that plenty of fanatics and jihadis are Muslim, but the people who are standing up to them, Malala, incredible Muhammad Ali,
who is amazing,
in Iran, in prison for 9 years for speaking up for Christians. A friend that I had in Pakistan who was shot this year, Rashid Rahman, for defending people.
He made that name up.
Absolutely.
No,
a racist.
Accused of apostasy.
Nick, or how about the more than a billion people who aren't fanatical, who don't punish women, who just want to go to the store.
Wait a second.
Wait a second.
Guys, one at a time.
And you're painting the whole religion with that.
No, let's get down to who has the right answer here. A billion people, you say. All these billion people don't hold any of these... Don't hold these pernicious beliefs?
No,
I wouldn't.
Well, they don't.
That's just not true, Ben. That's just not true.
Can I just express how I think it breaks down in terms of
the idea?
You haven't even defined
it. You're trying to say that these few people, that's all the problem is, these few bad apples. The idea that someone should be killed if they leave the Islamic...
That's horrible. That should okay.
You're saying that the idea that someone should be killed if they leave the Islamic religion is just a few bad apples?
The people who would actually believe and enact that you murder somebody if they leave Islam is not the majority of Muslims at all.
Let me break this down for you.
As you say,
we have 1.5, 1.6 billion Muslims. Now,
second biggest religion in the world, a quarter.
Well, Ben, let me unpack this for you.
Please do.
Imagine,
it's so dickish. Like he loses points because even if he's 100% right, like just being that kind of like dick aggressive is.
I just think it's funny too because they just put up a thing underneath him, and they've been putting up all these things underneath. Every new person.
Yeah,
we have a
TV in here that we're watching the clip.
Yeah,
so we're watching.
But it'll say like author like of their book or whatever or works or, and then it's just under Ben Affleck. It's just actor Gone Girl. Those are his credentials.
Specifically, not an expert at anything.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but you know, look, he makes some good points throughout the thing, but I just think his attitude kind of like invalidates some of what he's saying off the bat. You know.
Yeah, it's hard to be taken seriously when you're this like upset and
sure.
You can't deliver your points in like a calm, collected manner.
Right. Joey?
You have to stay composed.
Thank you.
Concentric circles here. You have at the center, you have jihadists. These are people who wake up in the morning wanting to kill apostates, wanting to die trying. They believe in paradise. They believe in martyrdom. Outside of them, we have Islamists. These are people who are just as convinced of martyrdom and paradise and wanting to foist their religion on the rest of humanity, but they want to work within the system. They're not going to blow themselves up on a bus. They want to change governments. They want to use democracy against itself. Those two circles arguably are 20% of the Muslim world. Okay, this is not the fringe of the fringe.
What are you basing that research on?
A bunch of poll results that we can talk about. So to give you one point of contact.
I love that response. 78% data that I investigated.
Think that the Danish cartoonist should have been prosecuted. 78%. So I'm being conservative when I roll this back to 20%. But outside of that circle, you have conservative Muslims who can honestly look at ISIS and say that does not represent us, we're horrified by that. But they hold views about human rights and about women, about homosexuals that are deeply troubling. So these are not Islamists, they're not jihadists, but they also keep women and homosexuals immiserated in these cultures, and we have to empower the true reformers in the Muslim world to change it. And lying about the link between doctrine and behavior is not going to do that.
Ben Affleck just did a little like wrap it up thing.
The great divide is not between Islam and the rest. It's rather between the fundamentalists and the moderates in each faith.
Okay, but we're misled to think that the fundamentalists are the fringe. Okay, we have jihadists,
that's
Islamists, and
point.
Conservatives.
Well, and by the way,
hundreds of millions of people fit that description.
You're saying that the strongest voices are coming from those who are jihadists and extremists.
And
that represents a bigger piece of the pie than we often think is true.
There's no question.
Okay,
about
so
that.
Having said that, and if you even if that is true statistically or otherwise, the key thing to recognize that I don't think is part of the argument, but I think should be, is that there are voices that are oftentimes raised in opposition to
ben
these
Ben Affleck is just sitting there like
these extreme
rubbing
acts.
His head like, what? I can't believe they don't get this covered. Is happening.
They don't get exposed. And they're not given the same, same level of platform that we
see. I'm also going to say this. I don't know. I don't know if 10 minutes is too long a clip to be playing, but I figured this is a good like discussion they were having, and I wanted to talk about it too. In the future, I doubt we'll have these like very long clips, and I could probably edit them down a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know what? What are you doing? You're in your car, or you're on the subway, or you're in class. Enjoy this shit, okay? It's like a little bit of media. This is something I like to talk about. I'll bring commercials in, and I'll fucking yell about the Crest White Strips girls. I hate them. We'll get into that shit later. There's like couple minutes left in this clip, and then we'll discuss it. But I just wanted to check in, and make sure you cute listeners are enjoying yourselves.
I don't like the Crest White.
One reason they don't get exposed is because they were afraid to speak out. Because
that's
the only religion that acts like the mafia that will fucking kill you if you say the wrong thing, draw the wrong picture, or write the wrong book.
So you do have.
And there's a reason why Ayaan Hirsi Ali needs bodyguards 24/7.
You do have that element of fear as well, but you also have other braver souls out there who do speak out and who
are risking their lives.
Like the Muslim clerics and others from Australia to Europe to the United States just recently.
See, this is a point that he makes, and he's right. There are Muslims around the world that are doing it, but the problem is, to an extent, we need Muslims in the Middle East, in these countries where ISIS is. We need them to step up and condemn this and try to start a movement against these radical... And I'm not denying that they're radical, but we have to have a movement amongst them to combat this shit. It's all well and good for some like Muslim pastor in Kansas... to be like, no, they shouldn't do it. Yeah, of course, because you're in Kansas.
Right. But you're not on the front lines facing
A different story when you're in, you know, Iraq or whatever, and you're really, like, next to an ISIS or whatever, you know?
Right. And one more thing for people not seeing this clip, Ben Affleck is losing his shit entire time.
The whole time while people are talking, he's visibly
shaking. He wants to fight people.
Yes.
Like, he wants to get up and just fist fight Bill Maher because that's how things are handled in all of his movies.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, he believes he is Batman. If you want to find this clip to like actually see what he looks like, I'm sure if you just search for Bill Maher Ben Affleck Islamophobia, a clip will come up very easily. All right, let's finish this up and then we can talk about it.
Publicly put their names on paper declaring their opposition to what ISIS and others are doing. Those voices, but where was the coverage? Where was that story to sort of create a different picture?
The solution is we've killed more Muslims than they've killed us by an awful lot. We've invaded more Muslims.
I am not from Morocco.
That is true.
Yet somehow we're exempted from these things because they're not really a reflection of what we believe in. We did by accident. That's why we invaded Iraq.
We're not convincing anybody.
It's not specifically telling you that I disagree with what you think.
I know, and we're obviously not convincing anybody of you.
If you don't understand my argument,
your argument is like, you know, black people, you know, they show each other.
That is not my argument.
No, it's not. It's based on facts. I can show you a pupil of Egyptians. They are not outliers in the Muslim world that say like 90% of them believe death is the appropriate response to leaving the religion. If 90% of Brazilians thought that death was the appropriate response to leaving Catholicism, you would think it was a bigger deal.
I would think it's a big deal no matter what.
Okay, but that's the fact.
But what I wouldn't do is say it's all Brazilians, or I wouldn't say, well, Ted Bundy did this. Goddamn, these gays are all trying to eat each other.
That's actually
what you want. There are hundreds of millions of Muslims who are nominal Muslims, who don't take the faith seriously, who don't want to kill apostates, who are horrified by ISIS, and we need to defend these people, prop them up, and let them reform.
Dude, you're talking, ISIS couldn't fill a AA ballpark in Charleston, West Virginia, and you're making a career out of ISIS.
It's not just ISIS. It's all jihadists. It's global. It's a phenomenon of global jihadists.
I think that's the opposite.
There is those things. There's ISIS. There's global jihadists. The question is the degree to which you're willing to say, because I've witnessed this behavior, which we all object to on the part of these people, I'm willing to flatly condemn those of you I don't know
willing.
And have never met.
No, this is not based condemning on people. It's ideas.
And people who believe in those ideas.
And it's based on reality, Ben.
Making it up that in the Muslim world, it is mainstream belief.
But this is such a caricature of Indonesia, of Malaysia, so much of the world. And this does have the tinge a little bit of the way white racists talk about African Americans and define blacks by.
But what you're saying is because they are a minority, we shouldn't criticize.
Not that much of a minority, the second biggest religion in the world.
Exactly, but you're treating them like a minority. I mean, if Filipinos were capturing teenagers and sending them into white slavery, we would criticize that. We wouldn't say,
well,
they're Filipinos.
You criticize the people who are doing it, not the Philippines. You know what I mean?
Well, what if the people
as a Filipino kid lives down the street from you would have nothing to do with that? So these are different things, crazy
racial
people.
Stereotyping.
All right, well, that's basically the end of the argument. Any initial thoughts on that, guys? Like, other than Ben Affleck's obvious disdain for the conversation to begin with. This is the thing. This is why I wanted to bring it up. I'm not necessarily showing it because I agree with what Bill Maher and Sam Harris are saying, or that I totally disagree with everything Ben, you know. But the point is, this could be and should be probably a conversation when we're sending troops into Iraq and Syria to combat radical Muslims in ISIS or whatever. Let's have a conversation about whether that's valid or invalid or whatever, because then that'll help us inform, you know, as a country, it'll inform our decisions, I think, you know, our opinions about this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think it would be wise for a lot of people to try and educate themselves on this topic, because I think a lot of people don't know. You know, I think a lot of people just they kind of take the headlines for what they are. Like, they see these like ISIS beheadings and stuff like that and just think it's terrible. But I think and this is something even I need to do. There's a lot more to it than just those headlines. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no
there's
doubt
a,
about
there's
it.
A lot more to know about it. And then kind of, you know, I don't know, I guess form your opinions after, you know, you've done the research and you've seen all sides to the argument. I don't, again, like you said, I don't necessarily agree with Bill Maher, but, you know, I at least appreciate that they're both kind of, they know a lot about what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the other thing is Ben Affleck does make a good point, because I agree with him a bit that ISIS can't fill a double-A ballpark and wherever he said. He's right. ISIS, to me, is an overblown threat to America. I mean, our military's even said they have no means of attacking us here. They're not coming here. They can't do anything. And then probably they don't have any designs on coming here right now anyway. They would probably want to, like, take Baghdad and Iraq, realistically, if we're game planning. So he's right to that extent that we're turning, you know, a couple of beheading videos, which are terrible, but we're turning them into this big, massive threat against us, which I don't think it is. However, I do think ISIS is sort of like Nazism in a way. They've, you know.
Well, I'm actually shocked, because if I think back, like, 6 months ago, I don't even remember anything about Cyrus. To me,
Cyrus?
It's like,
Iris? Miley Cyrus. Remember, she was at the VMAs and she did that dance with those little hot pants on and her like pasty ass jiggled. ISIS. Yeah.
ISIS.
Well,
to me, this seems like a new group that came out of nowhere.
They are a new group that came out of nowhere. And that's part of the argument in the broader sense of, like, should we go after terrorists and all this stuff? There's always going to be a new group. There's always going to be ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula or whatever it is. Probably we supplied weapons to ISIS fighters, because in Syria a couple of years ago when and it's still going on, there's a civil war in Syria, when Assad was attacking his own people, there was these Syrian rebels that people like John McCain and a lot of people in the United States were saying we should arm them. They probably became ISIS. That's, you know, what we're starting to realize. Like, huh, it's weird they have all these American weapons and shit. Where'd they get them? Well, they got them in Syria, and then they went to Iraq and fucking took all the weapons we gave to the Iraqis that had no interest in, you know, fighting. Yeah. So it's like, it's a whole fucking thing. Look, I bring it up because I think it's an interesting topic. And I don't know, is it unfair to say that Islam is causing it? I don't know, but they're certainly using it as all religion is, as a means of control. And these people are radical Muslims are certainly using Islam as a means of control.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay, man, that got really intense. We're at 50 minutes. I don't give a shit. I think we should keep going. This is going great.
Yeah. Can I bring up a quick subject change?
No.
Yes. You know, you like MMA.
I love it, yeah.
Mayhem Miller, the fighter.
Oh, no. Why? What happened?
On Twitter right now is documenting a standoff he's having with the LAPD SWAT team.
Oh, my
God. Go to his fucking Twitter, dude.
That's so sad to me. Mayhem, yeah.
He was an okay fighter. He's kind of gone off the rails. He definitely has some mental issues. I'm not sure what they are. I don't think he has drug abuse issues. I'm not sure.
He retired like maybe a year or two ago. He ended up getting into the UFC eventually. Had like a very poor showing. He was sort of like at the end.
His last fight was very poor. He was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
And he's had a couple of run-ins with the law since then. Wow, that's really sad. I feel bad, and I got to be honest, as somebody that like follows this shit, I'm not surprised at all, and I was kind of expecting that something like this would eventually happen.
Yeah,
that's sad.
And I was just scrolling Twitter, and I saw this, and like he's documenting this. Like his last tweet was, "Now they broke my window with some box with a phone in it and AR-15s. They are terrified, and they all have guns, scaring my hot dog, which is his dog, his wiener dog."
Fuck, that's terrible. Well, look, I mean, that's shit. Well, when you guys hear this, it'll be like a week old news, but that's...
Why is a SWAT team going after him?
Who the fuck knows what he was doing?
From what I can understand from his tweets, which are all... Like, you can tell he's mentally unbalanced. But,
absolutely.
I don't know. I think he has a kid, I guess.
I'm not sure.
And like the mother of his child, like they're on, you know, they're not agreeing right now. And I think he's mentioning something about how he was supposed to go to court this morning.
Oh, here I'm reading right now. Yeah, he had a bench warrant out for his arrest for allegedly stalking at the home of somebody. I don't know who, when it escalated into a SWAT call. Well, that's sad, man. I feel really bad for this dude, but obviously he's going to be a little fuckety fucked right now.
Yeah.
That's breaking news. The Mandatory Samson podcast is breaking news, recorded. You'll get it in a week, but this is live right now. All right. Well, so maybe that's something we'll keep our eye on. We'll update it next podcast.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's sad, that poor bastard, but whatever.
He's apparently one thing that I don't want to add to my bucket list is a SWAT team coming after me.
Well, you never know. You never know, Joey. A couple of years from now, you might want to rob a bank or something and, you know, go out in a blaze of glory. Like Dog Day Afternoon, that type of thing.
Dog Day Afternoon. I like that. I like that reference.
Oh, one of the best movies of all time. Great. Sidney Lumet, Al Pacino starring in it. And, guys, if you want to go back and watch this fucking terrific masterpiece of cinema, not one single bit of music is in that whole thing. It's all no score at all. It's just sound for the movie. Phenomenal movie. Really, really good.
Pretty amazing.
All right. So that's it for my movie, for my video clips, excuse me. I brought a couple other stories. One of them was about these Orthodox Jews that were on a flight to Tel Aviv and they refused to sit next to women. They flew for 11 hours and stood in the fucking aisle rocking back and forth and like, you know, praying or whatever. Hey, dummies, guess what? See, just to prove that we're not, everybody's going to get it on this show. Okay. I don't really care. These like ultra Orthodox Jews refuse to sit next to women, which is so archaic and insane. Meanwhile, they're willing to fucking fly on a plane, right? They're willing to adopt certain parts of modernity except, I can't touch a woman. What are you, insane? It's crazy. So like religion will go to these crazy extremes. And that's why I wanted to bring up the Islam thing too. You can take it to crazy extremes, but at least they're not fucking stabbing the women, right?
My only thing is that they should have bought the tickets earlier so that way they all could sit together and not have to worry about in-flight issues.
Great point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
A fair point, Joe. Yeah, and they were trying to actually, on the flight, they were trying to buy better like seats away from women. If I was a dude on that plane, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Stay in the middle of
aisle. No, you take the cash. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess you're right. What are you offering there, Shlomo? What do we got?
Well, and the oh,
what? That's a standard Jewish name. Yeah, I think it's okay.
It's fine. But,
Steven. It could have been just as easily could have been Steven.
And sure. I guess didn't they delay the flight by like 12 hours or something? Yeah,
they delayed the flight by like 20 minutes, but because they
Are
were
you
trying
sure?
to like, yeah, in the article.
Oh, I thought it was like a real, I'm taking that from Sam Morrill when I was engineering his podcast. He said it was 12 hours.
Factually incorrect. It's an 11-hour flight.
Way to go, Sam. You're making me look like an asshole on my show.
No, you look amazing. It was an 11-hour flight. And
oh, maybe that's what
they
he got.
Yeah, and they delayed it for 20 minutes. But still, it's fucking irritating as shit. You're about to get on an 11-hour flight.
Yeah.
And you got to wait because these crazy people that don't want to sit. Yeah. Sit the fuck down. If you're sitting next to a woman and you're not allowed to touch her, it's your burden, my friend. You better tighten up for that 12 hours and read your Torah and just relax.
And how bad, you know, just like, fuck them, dude. Like, I'm so tired of people, like, taking their, like, religious beliefs and fucking projecting them on people. Like, it's, like you said, if you can't touch a woman or whatever, fucking tighten up. That's your problem.
That's going to be your
Don't
issue,
Don't fucking
right.
delay my flight when I got to be on this plane for 11 fucking hours.
Right, which is like, a miserable, that's a suck event anyway, having to be stuck in a plane for that long.
Yeah, no one wants to do that.
But again, like, and I don't have a problem with them practicing their religion. Go for it. I mean, I think it's silly, a lot of what they're doing. I think a lot of religion is silly, and I'm sure that's something
Agreed.
We're going to get into. Me and Joey both went to the same Catholic schools for, 12 years, so we can get into that. But practice what you want, but do not let it infringe on anybody else, because freedom of religion means I have the freedom to not have one.
Right.
And it doesn't have to infringe on my, my flight to Tel Aviv. Jesus Christ. All right. So that's that. We went through that quickly. One more little thing I'll just touch on at the New York Rangers. I'm a huge hockey fan. The New York Rangers open their season tonight in St. Louis. I'm very excited. It's the debut of Anthony the Duke Duclair, who I think is going to be a phenomenal prospect for the team. This is something we'll get into another time. I'm just going to skip through it. Although I am wearing a Matt Zuccarello number 36 New York Rangers home jersey.
It's a great looking jersey.
Thank you. It feels very comfortable. I love it. I bought it in the playoffs last year, and that's the story. I have one more video. I'm not going to really play it. No, maybe I'll play it real quick. You guys should look it up. It's these two fucking kangaroos. Yeah, somebody took a video. It's these two kangaroos fighting in the streets in Australia.
Amazing.
It's fucking crazy to watch.
Oh my God.
We're watching it right now. It's creepy as fuck because they use their tails to balance. Guys,
awesome.
This was a Guardian video. It was on
Holy
the Guardian.
Shit.
If you search for kangaroos fighting Guardian, it'll come up. It's so creepy because they're really punching each other and kicking each other. It looks like an MMA fight, but they're fucking kangaroos.
It does look like
it's
an MMA
so
fight.
It's so weird.
Standing up like
they're
that.
They're landing fucking jabs and shit.
Yes, and they bounce on their tail, so it looks like they're floating. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
You guys definitely check this video out. It's amazing.
How tall you think? 5 feet, 6 feet?
No, those things are like 6 fucking feet for sure.
Yeah.
Look at that goddamn thing. And they put the music in the background, it's really a good video to watch. You guys should check it out. We're watching it now. All right.
Swan Lake in the background?
I think it is.
It might be, yeah. But anyway, so this keeps... It's like a 3-minute clip. It's really fucking worth watching. Because
God, life in Australia is amazing.
Oh, my... Could you imagine coming out of your house in the morning, you're tired on a Monday, and you come out, and there's these two giant animals kickboxing in the street? It's like watching Alistair Overeem fight.
Yeah, they're going at it.
It's mental.
Yeah. It's
really terrifying.
Oh,
look at that.
God.
They double kick their back legs and stay standing because their tails.
I don't think they can kick one leg at a time.
No, I... Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
they can't.
Both legs.
What a silly animal. Unbelievable. We're so lucky that all we have is, like, pigeons here. It's fine.
True. True.
All right. Anyway, so, yeah, guys, go check that out. I am completely out of topic, so I'm going to leave it to either Andy, and I know Joey has probably like a little rundown, and we'll see how this goes. Andy, do you have anything specifically, or would you rather just throw it right to Joey?
I want
to
hear Joey's topic.
All right, Joey, this is your big moment. This is your time to shine. This is something that we did every Backyard Buddies podcast, which I keep mentioning that because it was a lot of work. We did 20-something episodes. I thought it was really good. Andy can vouch.
I loved it.
So if you guys want to go check that out, that's fine. Joey, it's on you, my friend.
Take it away.
So what we have here is...
Talk directly into the microphone.
So what we have here is something called Vive, V-I-V-E. How would you pronounce
Vive?
Vive?
I
think it's Vive.
Vive. So apparently Vive is a smart bracelet that lets you know how drunk you are and tells your friends how drunk you are as well.
Oh,
so apparently it's a bracelet.
What's the point of that, just so you know?
Apparently they said that the point of it is if somebody had too much to drink and they couldn't press the bracelet would notify everybody that they're with that they didn't squeeze it and they could be in trouble.
I got to be honest with you. I don't understand.
Is this for women? Like, is it against like sexual issues?
Yes, it's more pushed towards women.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's... Oh, I see. So if they're... So let me
ask
you this.
If they go out for girls' night.
Right. And their blood alcohol goes over a certain level, then it would alert
knows.
Their friend. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? That's actually kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
We, I do the news on the TFM podcast with J-Train, Jared Freed, a great dude.
He's okay.
Did a, He's just average. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
We did a story this week about the sexual consent app that's like 9 fucking steps, and it's just insane.
That's a lot of steps.
This actually sounds maybe like a bit of a better idea. So at least your friends are like, oh my God, Sherry is all screwed up tonight.
Yeah.
Well, see, I kind of like my idea better, where it's just a bracelet that says you're ready to go. That's it.
What do you mean?
Well,
like,
you're out at a bar.
You're flirting,
you're
whatever.
You're flirting. I don't have a boyfriend or another bracelet. Or maybe it changes colors when you do have a boyfriend.
So this little lady you're talking to gets a little moist in the undies, and it just, the bracelet goes bling, ready to go. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Terrible idea. What else you got, Joey? How many more topics do you have?
I got 3 more, but you can always...
All right, why don't you tell me what some of those top... Pick your favorite one out of those 3, and then we'll split the last 2.
Okay, my favorite one is, did you hear about the new Facebook profile from the Justice Department?
No, I didn't, and I will let everybody that's listening know, I don't have Facebook. I deleted my Facebook 2 years ago, and it's something I like to talk about.
I don't have Facebook either.
Hey, very smart, Andy. Joey, you suspended yours for a while, right?
I do have a Facebook. I have 1,000 friends, and you can totally add me.
And of those 1,000, what would you say, 7, 10 of those people are like real friends of yours?
Oh, real friends? Probably 2.
Probably 2. Okay. Friend Joey on Facebook. It's Joey Noe.
No, it's Joey from Jersey.
Joey from Jersey on Facebook. Okay. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. So the DEA made a profile because they were doing drug busts of this one woman, Sandra Arquette, or Quit. I don't know. A-U-A-R-Q-U-I-E-T-T.
There's no way
Sandra Arquette.
There's no way it's Arquette or just Quit. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. So Miss Arquette apparently was arrested in 2010 on charges of possession to distribute cocaine.
Oh.
Okay.
So they thought, well, maybe...
Love me some cocaine.
If I...
Never tried it, but go for it if you guys like it.
Yeah, I want to ride the white pony. Maybe if I make a profile for Sandra, she could get in touch with the other people willing to deal cocaine.
Oh, okay.
So from her cell phone, they took all her pictures and they created a profile and tried to go out and friend other people to see if they can get any other drug busts.
Oh.
Who is this? The DEA did this?
The DEA did this.
Oh, you fucking sneaky motherfuckers.
But they do that very often with not so much creating social media profiles, but one of their biggest assets when they arrest a drug dealer is getting that phone.
Right. Yeah.
Because
you
open those fucking text messages and it's just a well of fucking of information.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Right. See, but do we think that this is okay? Like, should this be something where...
horrible.
It's horrible, but here's the like gray area of it, of I'm playing devil's advocate. You have to sign up for Facebook. So you sign up for it, you're consenting essentially to being involved in that world. So if the DEA wants to get involved in that and use it to their advantage,
well, here's,
they, I guess, technically should be able to, but it's fucking trickery.
Here's the thing. I just don't do your drug deals on social media. Just do
them. Yeah, for the kids listening, that's really important.
Yeah, just do them via text message or don't.
No,
even text.
I don't think. So.
You have a burner phone. You have to have a burner phone. Why is she using a personal phone that has Facebook?
Well, she should have a burner. That's a good point.
Here's the thing for kids that marijuana legalization is going to be something that comes up on this podcast for sure.
Yeah.
You shouldn't text if you're texting your drug dealer. It's probably not a good idea. Give them a quick call. It's way harder to trace that. They can trace your text for sure.
Yeah.
So be smart, guys.
Or use
code. Exactly, right. Would you got the stuff? Hey, did you pick up any of those limes? I need 3.5 limes. All right.
3.5 is a normal bag of marijuana for anybody listening.
Joey, you got 2 topics left.
Okay, so...
Tell me what they are vaguely about.
All right, so what we can do is we can talk about Walmart.
Uh-huh.
Or we can talk about Ebola really quickly.
No, let's wait on Ebola because shit's going to pop off on Ebola. That's going to be going on. We can get into that.
And... If you want, I have names that I wanted to call the podcast before you named it.
Okay. I guess I didn't tell you that I decided, me and Andy kind of decided that we were going to name it the Mandatory Samson
podcast. Yeah, you just threw that right on me.
Which, by the way, doesn't mean anything, but it's a cool name, and that's just what we're going with. Why don't you tell me about Walmart?
Okay.
Is it a long thing? Should we even get into it? Okay.
It's a quick thing. Walmart chose to end coverage, the healthcare coverage, for 30,000 part-time workers.
Good.
That counts anyone who works less than 30 hours.
Right. Which is bullshit anyway, because like that's a lot of hours.
It's 5% of the company's part-time workforce of about 600,000.
Right.
Mm.
Now,
how much would it cost them? Did you have that?
I do not.
It doesn't matter.
The figures.
Fuck them.
Fuck that.
Put it this way: it was more than enough for them to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Now, the thing I found interesting was they got a quote from...
You're drowning here.
I'm sorry. From Labie Dwab, who...
What?
Labie,
you know what?
Da?
Nope, I don't know. Just skip
okay.
it. Keep
so,
going.
So the president...
This is going great.
So the president of wealth and health and wellness for Walmart says that their goal is to be the number one healthcare provider in the industry.
Wow.
You want to be the number one provider in the healthcare industry, but you don't want to give your workers healthcare.
Such pieces of shit. And this is something that definitely, I mean, this is like mostly what I talked about on Backyard Buddies. Like it fucking drives me crazy when these corporations that are making billions of dollars a year off of the poorest people in America and deriving their workforce from the same people refuse to do the bare minimum that you can do for a human being, which is to make sure that they can stay healthy. Yeah. It fucking drives me crazy, especially when Walmart, let's be honest, is not selling gourmet food.
No.
Right? They're selling the shit that will make you sick and unhealthy. And then when you're part of their workforce, they don't even want to pay for your health.
One thing.
Fuck off. That drives me insane.
I have to say about Walmart, though. Uh-huh. If you have ever had to deal with customer service at Walmart, being in that line...
I really have only been to like a Walmart once,
okay.
honestly.
Walmart employees are the worst employees I have ever encountered in my whole life.
Yeah, because they're getting paid $7 an hour and they don't even have health insurance.
Benefits. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
it blows my mind when I go in there. Like, just how much they don't
care. The level of I don't give a fuckness.
Fuck about your issues. Like if my break is coming up, then like I'm gone. Or like there's no going, not even the extra mile. There's no going an extra fucking step to help somebody.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you're right. I mean, we've experienced that a lot of places. Fucking Kmart, for one, is a place.
Is Kmart still a thing?
Absolutely insane. Yeah, but my like where I come from. I live in the city now, but I'm from New Jersey. Yeah, there's some Kmart's there. Yeah. And that's like it's like torture going to Kmart. Mm. But here's the thing. I definitely understand that, you know, maybe you don't want to go the extra mile because fucking Walmart is not going at all to try to help you either. They think that just because they've given you this shitty low-wage job, you owe them everything, but you don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, there is something to be said about having pride in your work, even if it's not what you want to be doing and kind of being conscientious. But Walmart could fucking pony up and pay for and I'm assuming the shitty healthcare that they would be having anyway. Probably wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions or whatever. But that's a whole nother topic. Good job, Joey. Look, here's what I'm going to do for you.
Okay.
Let's wrap up a little bit. I'm going to give the Twitter names. We'll give whatever plugs we want.
Okay.
And then you can come strong with some of the names you came up with for the podcast that we're most assuredly not going to use. But that might be a fun way to wrap up the show. I'm going to throw it over to Andy if you want to give out your Twitter, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say to people kind of going into next week.
Yeah, okay. So if you guys want to get at me on Twitter and just give us any ideas, like we said, we're always open to that. My Twitter name is A-Lozzi, A_LOZZI. So just, I'm open to discuss anything you guys want to talk about. Like I said, I don't have Facebook, but I also have Instagram, which is the same as my Twitter. And you can see all the very uninteresting things that go on in my day-to-day life.
Perfect. Joey?
If you want, my handle at Twitter is Joey from Jersey. Add me, send me a tweet.
It's Joey from Jersey. Jersey spelled with a Z. Jerzey, correct?
Yes.
I cannot wait to follow you on Twitter. I'm excited.
It's a hodgepodge of nonsense. Yeah. No, get involved, guys. Listen, my Twitter name is @mansamp, MANSAMP, which, is the short form of Mandatory Samson.
Oh, that's convenient.
So how about
that? He took control of this podcast.
It's called cross promoting. Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Also, please follow me on Twitter. Send me tweets. I'd love to hear from you guys. I get a lot of followers from TFM, which I love. I love hearing from everybody. Also, if you want to send an email about the podcast, you have a story idea, whatever, you can feel free to tweet, or you can send it to mandatorysamson@gmail.com.
Yep.
Feel free to do that. I think this went great, guys. This is really exciting. I've been waiting to do this a really long time. I hope everybody listening really enjoys it. It's just going to keep getting better and better.
It is. It's going to get better. This was our first episode.
And I think it's good. I'm not apologizing for this episode.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think it went well, and I can't wait to have a Chesterfield cigarette.
I was just going to say, yeah. I'd like to thank Chesterfield Cigarettes for being our first sponsor. We're looking forward to getting many more, perhaps some of companies that actually still exist. And yeah. It would be wonderful. Joey, why don't you give me a couple of ideas of what you thought we should call this podcast?
Okay. First one was Millennial News.
Millennial News.
Yes.
Here's the problem. None of us are millennials, yeah. But that's okay.
Okay.
That one's out.
Okay. Next one was Teaching Joey.
Teaching Joey. Okay, maybe that's a... Put a little asterisk next to that bad boy. Maybe that'll be a segment. Because yeah. We haven't gotten into it, but if you go into Backyard Buddies, you'll probably learn a little bit more about Joey.
I like that idea as a segment.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I'm definitely in favor of that. Okay. Joe, there's a lot of things Joey doesn't know or understand or hasn't experienced, and we'll get into those things.
Awesome.
As we keep going on this magical ride.
We have Chris and Andy.
Chris and Andy, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay. White Noise.
White Noise. It's good, but I refuse to accept the fact that you're going to fall asleep to this thing. You're going to listen to it and probably get hard.
If I ever make a... my first album will be called White Noise. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, yes. Mark it down. Trademark.
Nicely done.
Shotgun. He's got that.
The next one's Out of Context.
Okay. Why would you think that this would be called Out of Context?
I just like the name of
it. You just like the sound of it. Sonically pleasing. Okay. Fair enough. How many more do you got on there?
Three more.
All right. I liked. You know what? I got to be honest. I liked that you did show prep. You don't usually do this. It's good.
And then In Context.
In okay. Sure. Yes. Sure.
Then Podcast Versus the World.
Podcast. Oh, you know what? Pretty good. I got to be honest. Not I like bad. Podcast Versus the World.
Not bad.
Okay.
And the last one, Legacy.
Legacy.
And he dropped his fucking notebook after he said that.
Whoa. Oh, you know what? Fuck. Because I was just going to make a comment about Legacy. I was like, that sounds like a wrestling, stable.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into it because we don't have time. We're at an hour and fucking 10 minutes. Fuck. We're already going long. We'll get into this next week. Yeah. I fucking completely forgot to bring it up. You went to Monday Night Raw, which you were very excited about.
And The Rock was there.
And The Rock was there. Oh, this is something we're definitely going to talk about next week. Cool.
Awesome.
Okay. I don't watch wrestling anymore, neither does Andy, but we used to, obviously, as kids used to fucking
we
watch
loved
it.
Yeah.
And I love to pay attention to it from the business aspect. Joey, I guess, is apparently still into wrestling because he's going to events. That's something we're going to get into next week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please go on standupnewyorklabs.com. Check out all the other podcasts we have. Lust for Life, TFM, Ranting and Raving.
Tuesdays with Stories,
one of our best ones. Go check it out, and we really appreciate it. Every Friday at midnight. So Thursday into midnight. That's when this podcast is going to come out. This has been the Mandatory Samson Podcast. We will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Good night.